Hi brethren. At a time where the world's going a bit crazy, there are heroes that don't wear capes. As we've seen, some wear scrubs and medical garments. Elsewhere, some wear aprons. Some wear gloves. Some tut. Some don't. Some refer to practice books. Some have never referred to a practice book in their Masonic careers. Some are inside orders. Some aren't. But amongst all of this, we all try to be the best that we can be. Masons or not, we're in this together. We at the Leeds Light Blues Podcast would like to thank you for following us on our journey so far. Tonight's a special episode, as we've reached out to our brethren on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean. We brought the whiskey and they brought a sock puppet. It's the Leeds Light Blues Podcast. Enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to the Leeds Light Blues Podcast. You're joining me, your host, Brother Matt Namiria, and with me tonight,
Brother Josh Doherty Turnbull,
Brother Matthew Wharton,
Brother Dean Leach,
Brother Paul Rogers,
Worshipful Brother Andrew Polviak,
Right Worshipful Brother George Mudry from Seymour, Connecticut.
George, welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Thank you very much, brothers. It's a pleasure to be on.
A Freemason celebrity.
I wouldn't go that far.
Give us a brief summary about you and your masonry.
Not a problem. I got involved in Freemasonry basically about 2006. And I was big into the History Channel, history and all that stuff. And I happened to watch a show on Freemasonry, and it was like The Secrets of the Masons or something. You know, you've seen them all, right? And they were talking about the dollar bill and how the layout of Washington, D.C. was all Masonic. And I'm like, oh, that's really cool, right? So the first thing I did was I got in contact. You know, I went on, of course, back then it was, I don't even know what the search engine was, Bing or something like that, right? And I went on it and I typed in, you know, Freemasons. And it popped up the Grand Lodge of Ontario, which is a completely different country. That's Canada. That's up north, right? So I emailed them. I said, hey, I want to be a Freemason. And their response was pretty much, yeah, kid, you're off the beaten path. You have to go over to your Grand Lodge in Connecticut. I'm like, I didn't even know there was Masons in Connecticut, right? I had no idea anything about it. So I got in contact with them. And then here in the States, we have something called an EMR system, which is the electronic membership request, which is basically you go online, you hit the join us button, and then they give you a call. So that's kind of how it happened with me. The EMR system came after me, but it was kind of similar. After that, I joined Morningstar Lodge number 47 up here in Seymour, Connecticut, and I was off to the races. From there, I've been a worshipful master of my lodge. I've joined all the appendant bodies you could possibly join, and I'm also a Right Worshipful Past District Deputy of the Grand Lodge of the State of Connecticut.
So, Morningstar Lodge, how long has that lodge been around now?
Morningstar Lodge got its start in 1804.
Wow.
Our charter, I wish I could bring it in here to show you guys. It's it literally looks like the Declaration of Independence. All the old writing, the old hand calligraphy, it's amazing to look at. We still have it. We keep it on our altar. And our lodge during the Morgan Affair went dark from like 1847 to 1851. And then it came back up. That was the only time we ever went dark for a while. And then Originally we were in Oxford, which is one town over. Some guy named George Glindering actually grabbed hold of the charter or grabbed hold of a bunch of Masons. And they started meeting here in Seymour. And we've been here ever since.
Nice. Okay, so before we go any further, we're going to do the first toast of the evening, gentlemen. I hope you don't mind, George. I know that obviously American, you know, you haven't saluted or toasted the royal family in quite a long time, I guess, over that way.
Contrary to popular belief, I'm also a Knight of St. Thomas of Akon, who's a pending body of kind of an offshoot of Knights Templary. And we actually toast the Queen because the order is out of England. It is the only order of knighthood in the Crusader time that was strictly English. So I actually, every time we meet, which is twice a year, St. Thomas of Akon knights meet and we toast the Queen.
Nice. Wow.
Interesting.
Not know that. That's no, awesome. Me neither.
There is an order of St. Thomas of Akon in the UK. I think is it the shell? A shell with a cross on that's the symbol?
Yep. Clam shell with the cross on the chest. Yeah. Except you wear a funny hat. That's the only thing I love. it's like a Scottish Rite hat, which is like squared, but it's very hard squared, and it's like a fez, but not really.
You'd be used to doing this toast then.
Well, without further ado, Brother Dean, are we all charged in the south?
All charged in the south, Brother Matt.
And right wish for Brother George. I mean, you're as far west as it can go for us. Are we all charged in the west?
Charged in the west, brothers.
Then, brethren, the queen and the craft.
Queen and the craft.
Craft.
What are we all drinking tonight, guys? I'm on the Glenkeith with ice, single malt.
I've got my usual array of bizarre sour beers.
San Miguel for me.
I'm drinking a Yingling lager.
Is that an American lager, or is it?
It's an American lager, yes. A couple of my British friends have told me this is not actually real beer.
Yeah, I think they're right.
When you eventually come over here, we'll get a pint of Tetley's Bitter down here.
You'll have to try Josh's concoctions in his house.
Don't make promises you can't keep.
Well, as
oh, Sambuca.
Wow.
Sambuca.
Wow, we're hitting it really hard there.
Wow, we're hitting it hard tonight.
Light blue, okay. Good and proper.
What are you drinking, Dean? What are you on?
I've got Malibu and ginger beer.
I was on rum and ginger 2 episodes ago.
And then were you on some sort of like seltzer water or something?
That was last week. The hard seltzer.
Oh, yeah. God.
So Matt was telling me you've got a running joke about hard seltzers.
Okay, yes. So in the beginning, we started doing the podcast, and it was actually now our senior warden, Steve Saxton, came on a podcast. I think it was like episode 8. You know, it was kind of in our early stages, and we weren't really that popular. And one of the things we like to do is we like to poke fun at ourselves. Yeah, you know, Masons, we're humble, right? Mm-hmm. So one of the things that he kept saying was that we were sponsored by Polar Seltzer. Polar Orange Dry, I believe, is the exact one. And, you know, it was funny because I'm sitting there saying, we don't have sponsors. We don't have any sponsorships, right? And he just kept going throughout the entire podcast. Well, now I'm coming up here and doing another podcast. And every time I come up here, there's letters from Polar that were typed up by a brother. Brother Rafferty changed his name on Facebook to Orson O'Bear, the mascot for the company Polar. Let's see what else they did. They've stuffed my desk full of Polar because I'm a secretary here at Morningstar. They've stuffed my desk full of Polar cans, and the list goes on. And it's kind of been a running joke.
Just before we go any further on the Freemason podcast and Freemasonry in Connecticut, quick couple of things. So we normally do shout outs for the new likes that we've had on the Leeds Like Blues page. Shout outs for this week, brethren, are Luzlus Bayis. I'm really sorry if I'm destroying your names, guys. Geary Lat Evans, AJ Nelson, Bill Hostler, Andrew Meanis, Matt Wharton, Ron Zavarella, Joseph Grabowski,
Hayley Kai.
Do you know him?
Yeah, he's actually one of our Patreons, as well as he's the guy, one of the guys from the Amity app.
Oh, awesome. Oh, well, welcome, Joe. Jamie Tullock, Bobby Lee, Bellist Luangan Ampelzer, Martin Hansen, David Simister, Anthony Wilkins, Robert Miller, Andy Proper, RBS Manyam, Jun Vids, and Abdelatif Zahaf. So, brethren, let's raise a glass to our guests.
To our guests.
It's actually Joe that reached out to us from the Amity to talk about getting involved with them as well.
Awesome.
While we're doing toast and stuff, George,
yes.
Talk us through the way you toast, which is fascinating to me.
When we do our toasts, the podcast host is not exactly done the right way. And the reason why I did that is because I wanted to keep some continuity of, I guess you'd say, a Masonic secret, right? Mm-hmm. So one of the things that's differently done, and you'll see the way we toast is, you know, we right hand to arms, mm-hmm. ready, aim, fire, good fire, fire all. You put your arm out like this, and it's present arms.
Okay.
And normally we just do this, and then swing, and then drop, clap the hands 3 times, which is actually grand honors here in the States.
Okay.
So if we have Grand Master, I don't know if it's the same way over in England, but we have grand honors, which is 3 times 3 of a clap. No vivat at the end of it, but that's considered grand honors. So every time we toast a guest, we say vivat, vivat, vivat 3 times. It means live long. The only other difference that we do is when we toast, so after you take your toast, you present arms and then you say together and you do a triangle and then you say the cup down.
I've seen similar, but not as a toast, in other lodges in the UK where they do the Masonic fire. They do it with a finger and then they do but not in the same way as a toast.
At York, they do the shot glassing, just start slamming on tables. That was
just like banging on the shot table. Yeah, brilliant.
One fun thing that we do at the bar afterward is, I don't know if you guys, you guys have York Right over by you guys as well. The York Right for us is an appending body, which means after you became a Master Mason, you can join the York Right as an appending body. Yeah. But one of the things that they have is you take a degree called the Mark Master Mason, and every Mason gets a coin. It's almost like a challenge coin with your mark on it, and that is your mark as a Mason. It goes into the Book of Marks, and it gets kind of recorded, but it's pretty cool.
If you look on our owl, we've got Johnny Cosmic, who's our artist. He's put his own mark in the...
Yeah, he's a Mark Mason through the English Constitution. Somewhere in there is like a cool little mark.
Just interestingly, in England at least, Mark Masonry is still an appendant body as a side degree as part of the York Rite. But in Scotland, in the Scottish Rite, it's part of your craft masonry. It's part of your second degree.
It's a little bit more segmented than a kind of a pathway, I guess.
That's actually how it used to be here in the States. Every Blue Lodge had a chapter attached to it. So, for instance, we're Morningstar Lodge. We used to have something called Evening Star Chapter. So both of them references to Venus and everything. And it was Morningstar 47 Blue Lodge, Evening Star Chapter number 47 as well up here. And we actually I just was able to resurrect the charter. So we're going to be having that again.
Why did things change then? You said you used to do it.
I really don't know. It just kind of died on the vine, so to speak, where here in the States, Blue Lodges are separate from chapters. And it's probably a financial thing where one wasn't carrying its weight. I mean, I'm also sure that the Morgan Affair had something. I don't know if you guys know about the Morgan Affair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we went to a lecture about it. It was fascinating, really, really interesting.
It was all Lucinda's fault. So we did a podcast on the Morgan Affair, and we talked about how William Morgan and all that stuff. And during the podcast, we were going over our information and all that stuff, and we noticed that William Morgan's wife, Lucinda, had three husbands, all of which who died under mysterious conditions. So like, oh my God, that's it. It's her. And then we found out she was redhead afterward, and Joe's a redhead. And that's one of our running jokes is I make fun of him because he's a redhead. He makes fun of me because I'm 5'7". So I'm the midget, he's the redhead, and Ken's transparent because
we're still taller than I am, so you're all good.
Yeah, one of our listeners had pointed out one day that Ken's legs were showing at the table and he couldn't eat the white table. But I think the Morgan Affair is probably what eventually we lost a lot of Masons in the States. Like membership went down after that whole thing happened. And here in the United States, we actually had an anti-Masonic party at one point. So I think that had a lot to do with it as well. But I just want to make a reference to the mark. Let's just say this is the mark, and we go down to the bar, and you'll get a lot of this. The Masons will start tapping their Mark Master Mason coin on the table. So bringing it back to your toast, you were talking about banging the cups. Yeah, we do that after lodge downstairs. Everybody who's got a mark will bang it on the bar. Whoever doesn't have a mark, you're buying the next round. So,
That's good.
That's a good way of doing it. I like that. So can we do the Freemasons podcast toast? Can we give it a go?
Absolutely. Who wants to lead our toast? Which one?
I feel like it's got to be you.
Me? Yeah, you're the honored guest.
Come on, this is your time to shine.
I mean,
Matt, do you know it?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Oh, here we go. Right, okay. I'm holding a lot of pressure here to get this right. So when I say to arms, you guys say... To ready. Arms, and then ready, ready, and then, okay, yeah. So.
Any good fire, fireball.
Brethren, right hand to arms.
Two arms.
To arms.
Ready.
To arms. Ready.
Ready. Aim.
Aim.
Aim. Fire, good fire, fire roll. Together, brothers. Viva,
viva, viva, viva,
viva, viva,
viva.
Nice.
Very nicely done.
Well done.
Very nicely done.
And if it's wrong, that's how we do it in our lodge.
So let's get back around to the Freemasons podcast. So what made you start the podcast, George? Where did the idea come from?
After I had done my term as district deputy, I was already district deputy and all that stuff. You know, unfortunately, the downside about being a has-been, and I make fun, I call myself a has-been all the time, is there's nothing to do. Once you've already been a master of a lodge, once you've already been a district deputy for the Grand Lodge, once you've already been Blue Lodge Council presidents and all this other nonsense, There's nothing to do. You literally show up to lodge and you sit there.
Can you not be master of your lodge again?
You can be. Our lodge here in Seymour actually has upwards of between 35 to 40 masons on any given night. Mm-hmm. So we have a jam-packed line with masons waiting to get in line, chomping at the bits. Mm-hmm. So the chances of being recycled back in the line are pretty slim.
Fair enough.
It's pretty much an 8-year wait to go through the entire line. We don't believe in progressive lines in mm-hmm. our lodge. It's more of you need to earn your keep. So if you don't, you know, if you don't learn your ritual, if you don't show up to lodge, if you don't put in any effort, there's a good chance you're probably going to get booted out of the line or not get voted in. I mean, it's unfortunate to say, it's kind of cutthroat, but I mean, at least in our lodge, we only want the best of the best. If you're gonna half-ass go through the motions, we'll find somebody who wants it more than you. But back in what you were asking, I found myself, I was bored. There was nothing to do. And the only thing I was a secretary of my lodge, and my successor who took over for me for a Right Worshipful Chip Schofield, he emailed me one day and said, hey, I need to know the breakdown of your roster. How many masons are coming in? How many this, that, and other thing? And I said, that's funny. I've never been asked that before. I said, you mind me asking why? And he said, because we've lost over 25% of our membership in the last year.
Wow.
Connecticut's not very big. So I wouldn't say maybe 6,000 masons in the state.
What was the reason for the 25% loss?
Never really got to the bottom of it. I personally, and this is why I started the podcast, is I feel that people are too busy in their phones. Mm. The lessons that Freemasonry teaches, nobody's really seeking anymore. At least here in the States, we get called the old man's club because they all think that we're all in our 70s, older, you know. Mm-hmm. Nobody's really interested in hanging out with a 70-year-old. I'm sorry. You know, a 20-year-old has nothing in common with a 70-year-old. So I started the podcast to basically reverse the trend of losing Masons, hopefully, not just in Connecticut, but in worldwide. And two, to show that we're not old guys. We're not stuffy old guys. We drink beer. We hang out. We break each other's balls. We have a good time with each other. And it's actually gotten very, very good responses and reviews. And oh my God, I can't tell you how many people that have messaged me privately and said, you know, thank you for doing this. And where can I become a Mason?
I think that's a shame, that prejudged misconception as members being old, because they are elderly members in our lodge and across the board. And you learn from them, as they do with you. You make friends with people that you would never, ever have thought about in your life as soon as you become a Mason.
Reaching out from that, because of the podcast, have you been introduced to even more people from around kind of America and potentially now around the world because of the podcast? Did you find it's expanded your Masonic circles even further?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. I'm assuming you know the TMR guys as well, the Masonic Roundtable.
I met them at MasonicCon here in the Northeast. We have something called MasonicCon, which is, you know, all a bunch of Mason vendors show up and all that stuff. And we went as the podcast, I mean, literally just starting out. We were maybe 2-3 months old. And we had a good time with them, talked to them. I've gotten to know Brother Mike Hambrecht very well. We haven't really talked as much because, again, all this crap going on.
Yeah.
But got to know them, got to meet them. I only met them once. Really don't talk with other podcasts as much. Not for any type of competition reasons. Mm. The one thing I said that I wasn't going to do, I don't want to overlap with other podcasts. Not saying overlap as in not do joint podcasts, but I don't want to find myself listening to a podcast of theirs and then saying, oh, we need to do that. And then 2 weeks later, I'm doing the same episode.
Yeah.
I like to come up with my own topics, and I think it's important for each podcast to be original. And one of the things that I wanted to do with the Freemasons podcast is horse around.
Yeah.
Drop an F-bomb from time to time. show that we're not all just all stoic and, you know, show that we're just regular guys.
That's nice. Pretty much.
Yeah, that's great.
So on the topic of topics, I guess, you've had some pretty varied ones. I think one of my favorite episodes listening to you guys was when you got on the Liberty Ghost Hunters. They were...
Oh, yes.
There was the one time you had them on and you were doing a ghost hunting in your lodge rooms, right? Yep. And what was it that you guys heard from the void.
Yes, we were doing what's called the Estes method. When they were on, I was in the other room and listening to the headphones, and that was Brother Henry was up here. I will say this, you know, this building is very, very old that we're in. This was actually one of our original lodge buildings. This building was actually built by a man named Carlos French, who was a Freemason and a member of Morningstar Lodge. And he named this the Humphreys Building after Xavier Humphreys, who was a master of the lodge who died while in office. So this building has a lot of Masonic history in it. There's nothing up here that's harmful, but pardon my French, but this building's f***ed up.
on that note, I've had my own paranormal experience in our building. Practice room, the coat hangers were swinging, and I thought I saw somebody, and there was nobody in the room.
I'm entirely skeptical. I'm not, I don't believe in that whatsoever. However, me and Matthew were together, and we had an experience at Castle Grove, our Masonic building in Leeds.
I didn't believe it, and you know, your rational mind does things that explains it away. And again, one of the things I kept doing, I kept feeling like spider webs or something raking on my ear, and you grab it. What the hell? Like, and you're saying, "Oh, I walked into a spider web," and then it happens a second time, and then it happens a third time, and then you hear voices, and then you hear movements. And the Estes method, that was a funny episode. I remember what Worshipful Brother John said something about, "Is there something you want to tell Henry?" So I had basically, it's an audio recorder, and I had these in my ear, right? Mm-hmm. These Apple headphones. And then over the top of that, sound-deadening headphones. So I can't hear anything going on in the other room. And God's honest truth, I heard it say, "Henry sucks." And then I didn't know anything was going on in the other room, but apparently they erupted in laughter. It said every day that Henry sucks every day. And editing it back was hysterical and scary at the same time, because I'm like, I didn't hear any of this. It gives you the creeps every once in a while.
Mm-hmm. You guys were like hearing knocks and stuff coming through, right? Like knocks on the door and all sorts of stuff.
We've had to stop the podcast a couple of times because of knocks. We actually had in the early episodes before we were doing Facebook Live, me and Henry were talking about the ghosts and the lights started dimming. And I don't know if you can see, but these are fluorescent lights. They don't dim. and we kind of stopped, froze, and looked at each other like, what the hell was that? So it's nothing harmful, but definitely you recognize it. And it's at a point now where we're just like, hey, what's up, guys? And just keep it pushing.
So going back to the F-bombs that you, I mean, I love the little plushy F-bombs that you guys have got on there on the table. How did you get away with that? I mean, granted, you're obviously right worshipful past district deputy, but have you always had the support from your Grand Lodge, or have you ever had anyone kind of email in or give you a call, say, George, you know, would you just kind of tone down the F-bombs a little bit, or anything like that? Because that's, I mean, we'll bleep any swears out or anything like that.
I'm going to tell you guys a story unedited. This is the first time you're hearing this. I've never talked about it on my podcast, and I kind of left it alone. But yeah, no, we were not well received with our Grand Lodge. The Grand Lodge of Connecticut at first didn't hear about us because we were too small. Mm-hmm. We were nothing at that point. It was just basically me and just random guys. Joe and Ken were just starting to come around. Now, mind you, I'm an amateur. I'm just an average Joe. I'm not IT guy. So I didn't know how to edit. I knew how to record, but I couldn't tell you how to edit. So I never really edited the first ones. And I just wanted it to be rough and raw. I wanted it to be, I wanted the swearing. I wanted everyone to see that we're not just going to throw information at you. You're going to get to know us individually. What happened was I posted something on an episode, or somebody heard an episode and referred it to a past Grand Master of the state of Connecticut. So we have in the state of Connecticut here, we have the Freemasons newspaper, where all of us get a newspaper. He wrote an entire article basically talking about how we were un-Masonic and we should be brought up on charges and have our dues cards pulled for what we were doing. Nobody reached out to me ahead of time and asked me to basically tone it down. Nobody said, hey, brother, can I talk to you, you know, quietly to the side? There was just a newspaper blast.
In and of itself, un-Masonic.
Yeah.
Exactly is what I was going to say.
So the Mason in me was basically saying, be humble, be chill, it's okay. So I reached out to who is the Grand Lodge representative, who is a member of the Grand Lodge of our district. They call him a district representative. So it was actually the Grand Junior Warden, and I, Grand Junior Steward. And I said, what the hell? And I basically stated my case. No one came to me. No one said, tone it down. No one said anything to me. And he's like, yeah, no, I know. And I said, you know, and I stated my case. This is what I'm trying to do with Masonry. I'm trying to show that we're not young guys. Oh, well, you know, they're worried about the swearing and drinking. I said, okay. You know, and I kind of let it lie. Well, this grandmaster then emailed me and said, I know you're upset with me. So it's kind of a sorry, not sorry email. it just became an email of stating why he did that. And then it was every other day I was getting an email basically citing the reasons in our rules and regs as to why this is not okay. And then at that point, I basically blew up and I wrote an email and I CC'd the entire Grand Lodge because I figured they're going to pull my dues card and they're going to shut me down for trying to improve the craft. When that happened, I got an email back from the same guy who I was talking to, the Grand Junior Steward. He's like, oh my God, what did you do? But I stated my case. This is why I'm doing the podcast. I have no problem toning it down with certain things that you want done. And they said, well, our major problem is the swearing. So the F-bombs are kind of my Masonic way of... if you're picking up what I'm putting down here. Mm-hmm. And then the drinking, and I said to him, I said, so you mean to tell me when you have table lodges, your Masons don't drink? And I don't know if you have those over in the UK.
No.
But you're telling me having a beer on my podcast is a problem? So, you know, recently we've gotten to a place, we had our grandmaster finally came up here, broke the ice. He's awesome. We went and helped him out with the COVID thing. So we have a lot of support from our Grand Lodge now, which
awesome.
It ended up working out for the better in the end. They understand where we are. We understand where they are. And we've met a happy medium.
That's really good. So you mentioned about table lodges. Is that just is that like the meal that you guys have after your ritual?
So actually in the States, we have something called a table lodge, which is where you actually, it's got a whole different ritual and everything to it. But it's actually a lodge at dinner time. So it's an open tiled lodge.
Wow. Okay.
And that's where the toasts come from. Excuse me. That's where the toasts come from. Because a table lodge has 7 toasts. By toast number 5, you usually don't remember them, but there are 7 toasts. I think it's to the country, Masons wherever dispersed. You get my drift. But you sit down at an actual table.
We have a festive board, which sounds quite similar, and there are about 7 toasts in that.
Yeah.
But it's not tiled. We have a tiled meeting in the temple, then we retreat to a catering venue somewhere nearby or part of the premises and have a meal, a few drinks, a few more drinks in my case.
But the master turns round to the wardens as well and actually asks and says, are we all charged in the south? And the answer should be affirmative. And then, are we all charged in the West? Yeah. So I can visualize that table lodge pretty well, actually. I think that sounds fantastic.
It's actually set up kind of like a horse, like a U shape, right?
And
the
warden,
same as ours.
Master sits at the head table, and then the altar in the middle of the U.
Yeah.
And, you open on the entered apprentice degree so that all Masons can participate. And then after that, you go into table lodge, table lodge ritual, where you start talking about the table lodge, and it's really cool. Every grand jurisdiction has its own ritual for it. In Connecticut, we don't do the whole fork, spoon, and knife thing. It's toasts, it's dinner. But if you go down to Delaware, there's Masons down there that they do, you know, right hand to sword, and their sword is their knife. I've never seen it done, so I really can't speak on it.
I've certainly read once that in America, most business in a lodge is conducted in the Master Mason's degree. Or is that not the case?
The ritual has changed so many times. Not changed, but the conduct or the way that the lodges here have changed over time. It's amazing because originally back when because I still have the minutes from 1804 handwritten and everything. I'll show you guys if you guys want to see it later. They used to actually open on the entered apprentice, conduct their business on an entered apprentice, close entered apprentice and do fellow craft, close fellow craft and then do master mason. So they would keep booting Masons out if they weren't up to the Master Mason. Yeah. Now, realistically, with the exception of discussing the next degree, you can do all of your business on Enter Apprentice, Fellow Crafter, Master Mason. With the exception of, oh, hey, we're going to talk about, oh, you're going to do this part, and you're going to, you know, of the next degree when there's, let's say it's the Master Mason degree. You know how involved that is. And there being a fellow craft sitting on the sidelines going, well, who's that guy? Yeah. So for the most part, all business is the only thing that entered apprentices and fellow crafts are not allowed to do. And I don't know if this is same over there. They have zero voting rights. So they're not allowed to vote in elections. They're not allowed to vote on candidates. They're not allowed to vote on bills. There's zero. They also cannot travel either until they're a Master Mason. You can't, are basically bound to your mother lodge until you become a Master Mason. And then after you get raised to the sublime degree of a Master Mason, you have to prove proficiency in your ritual in order to get your dues card. Because your dues card is the only thing that gets you into another lodge's doors.
Right. Okay.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. I did about 90% of my traveling as an entered apprentice.
Yeah. Same here.
The only time you're able to travel here as a fellow crafter and an apprentice, if you are accompanied with a Master Mason and the lodge you are traveling to has the knowledge that you're on your way. The reason being is because, let's say another lodge is having a Master Mason degree and you're going to bring an entered apprentice to that lodge. Well, if you show up, it's better than going in and be like, yeah, you got to go. So that's really the restrictions of being an entered apprentice and a fellow craft. However, an entered apprentice and a fellow craft, at least in our lodge, do not pay dues until they're a Master Mason.
Wow.
Because we don't get charged assessments on them. I don't know how it is over there, but in our Grand Lodge, each Mason gets charged an assessment. So in order for me to remain a Mason, the Grand Lodge, I think, charges me $66. And then I get my lodge dues on top of that. That's how the Grand Lodge makes its money, right?
Oh, okay.
How does it work, George, over there? Because we've got as lodge, then we've got Provincial Grand Lodge, and then the overarching body is United Grand Lodge.
United Grand Lodge of England,
you just have your own, each individual state provinces. And
so
that's it.
We'll go back to the Revolutionary War here. And I know this is a subject for you boys. Just joking.
Here we go.
Careful, guys.
Here's my shirt that I actually just got today, and it does say, Washington said, hold my beer, George Washington. back when the American Revolution was over with, and you know, Britain went their way, America started their own thing, George Washington was actually offered to be the Grand Master of the Grand Lodge of the United States of America. And he adamantly gunned it down. And he said that all states should govern themselves as Grand Lodges. So there is no overhead, like a United Grand Lodge of the United States. It's literally Grand Lodge of Connecticut, Grand Lodge of New York, Grand Lodge of Virginia, so on, so on. The only thing that they do is there is a Grand Masters Conference where all the Grand Masters will get together to just discuss Masonry in general, but it's not a formal thing. The only thing that's an overhead here in the United States is actually Knights Templar. I am a Knight Templar. I'm actually the Grand Junior Warden of the Grand Commandery of the State of Connecticut. So in 6 years, I will be the Grand Commander of the State of Connecticut, God willing.
Nice.
That is an overhead. There is a Grand Encampment of Knights Templar of the United States of America.
Well, so, if you do ever come over to Leeds, myself and Andy, we live by a place called Temple Newsham, which is where there was a Knights Templar. I don't know if it was a commandery.
It was one of the biggest estates in Europe at the time,
it was
wasn't
a preceptory,
it?
Preceptory,
yeah. Preceptory, yeah. And
yeah.
So there's a bit of history there. So.
All right.
George, what side orders are you in?
I am a Knight of Akon. I am a Knight Templar. I am Chapter, basically, right, as well as Scottish Rite. Let's see here. I am, I don't even know half the stuff that I do. I just get asked to do stuff and I do it. But Knight of Akon,
both
Knight Templar, Court of the York Rite. I am also Scottish Rite. I've been the leaders of both bodies at one point. I've been Blue Lodge Council President, which is, we have councils here, which is, a bunch of lodges get together in a certain area and they form a district, and that district has a presidency basically where all the lodges kind of get together. A little tough to understand, but
we refer to it as provinces, I think.
Provinces. Okay. There we go. Yep. Same thing. So I've presided as president of that.
So I think that must mean then that, George, you are the equivalent of a past, at least, provincial. Very least, a past provincial grandmaster.
Provincial grandmaster.
Mm. Wow, that's pretty high. Is that where the R comes from in front of so the right? Is that where the right worshipful comes in?
The title is actually only Blue Lodge. When you've served for the Grand Lodge of the State of Connecticut, you earn the title of Right Worshipful Brother. Okay. And then once you've been the Grand Master of a state, you become a Most Worshipful Brother.
That's interesting. In England, at least, and the first of the same, you become brother after you join a lodge, you become Worshipful Brother after you've been the Worshipful Master of a lodge. But you get Right Worshipful only if you're the Provincial Grand Master. Matthew, with a book of constitutions, goddamn, I love you.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that's how much of a Sonic nerd I am as well. Look at that. There you go.
Always have them with you.
But there's a running joke, George, on this podcast, George, in that Matthew's our resident attorney.
We got our fact checker. We got our fact checker, Rocco.
My book of constitutions is still in its original rubber band.
Ours is too big. I don't even carry it around anymore.
Mine's from 1960, so it's probably way out of date.
Oh, actually, while I've got my case here, this is my Masonic apron. And I don't know how it compares to the various aprons you must have, but this
very
is
cool.
The one.
That's mine.
Master Mason, yeah.
And here's my chapter one.
And the rosettes are actually for each degree, correct? Is that how you guys do it over there?
Yes. Not exactly.
So we have a white apron for an entered apprentice.
Okay.
And then you then get, as a fellow craft, you have a white apron with rosettes on.
Two rosettes.
And then as a master mason,
you have three rosettes.
All the bandings and everything
tassels.
Else.
You guys are tassels. I'll grab all my aprons and I'll show you what we have over here if you're interested.
Actually, Paul, you have a fantastic wardrobe of aprons.
Yes, that is true. All
right, okay. So here's what we got in the States, guys.
There we go.
So as an entered apprentice here in the States, I don't know if you can see it.
We got it, yeah.
Pure white lambskin.
This is pure leather apron or lambskin, whatever. Entered apprentices actually wear it with the bib turned up.
Yep, my lodge does that. But some lodges don't.
Not many do back home, no.
But my lodge does that.
Yours does, mine does not.
I should wear his like this.
We do in ours. We flip them up under initiation.
You're just wrong.
As a fellow craft, you'd wear it like this.
Ooh.
Left forward, up in, and then a master mason keeps it spread.
That wow. is
for just a regular Blue Lodge Mason. This is one of our officer aprons, and it's a Blue Lodge officer. And then you got the, this is the one I grabbed, just happened to be the junior warden. But this is basically what an officer would wear.
With the Eye of Providence, that's interesting. It's something we don't have.
We use that quite frequently, actually.
I've seen.
Once you become a past master, you wear one of these. And this is actually the apron that was given to me by this lodge. But, of course, that doesn't do, because all Masons need to be fancy.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
The dress apron. Nice.
That's cool.
This is my past master one that I bought on my own. And then after that, you go into your... Now, mind you, I haven't been a... I haven't presided over a chapter yet. This coming year, I'm going to be. So that will make me a past excellent high priest, I think it is.
That's cool.
Very similar to our chapter.
That's our
basic.
Yeah.
And then after that, you get into the cryptic degrees, and they look like this.
I was going to ask, one of the phrases that comes up a lot is taking the purple or something to that effect.
I'll get there. I got two more to show
cool.
up.
Cool.
Cool.
Right now, I'm just showing York Rite. Scottish Rite doesn't have aprons. They do, but they're only for ceremonial purposes. Mm. But most of the time, you wear just a hat. You got the hat on the top. And there's primarily three hats that you wear, which would be the black hat for a 32nd degree. A red hat is for Masonic Service Award, which is a red cap. And then the illustrious 33rd is white with the you've seen at the dual eagles or whatever.
Which is more prominent in the States than York Rite or Scottish Rite?
Scottish Rite.
Right.
And then this is my Templar apron.
Wow.
Wow.
Awesome. I mean, it's quite similar to KT aprons here.
It looks very Arabic, more like Saladin rather than Christian.
Well, this one's cool because it's a Grand Lodge one, or excuse me, a Grand Commander one. The triangle is prominent, very prominent in the in Knights Templar. The skull and bones as well. I promise you, it's nothing demonic. Crosswords. When we open a commandery on the altar, the cross swords go above the square compasses, cross, and Bible as a symbol to defend basically the altar and the Holy Script or the Holy Writings or whatever. And then taking on the purple. So this is my district deputy apron. So once you become a district deputy, you would get, you're now allowed to have tassels. And it's gold and purple, the colors of royalty, basically. So that's what I wear. This is actually, I'm now a past district deputy, so I'm not even a current anymore. But I will always wear this. And another cool thing about being a district deputy here in the state of Connecticut is you will always have voting rights in Grand Lodge. So when Grand Lodge, let's say they're changing something, let's just say they want to change what the dues amount is, or the assessment of Grand Lodge. The only ones that have a vote in it are masters and wardens. But as a past district deputy, I will always have a vote.
Which apron would you wear now then with everything you've done over the years?
In Blue Lodges, if I attend the Blue Lodge, right, a regular basic ground level Mason one, this is the one I would wear. I can't realistically wear any of my other aprons because that's an appending body apron. So I'm not technically allowed to wear any of my other aprons. Interesting thing about the Knights Templar is the apron that I showed you is irrelevant. We're not allowed to wear it anymore because Knights Templar wear uniforms.
Yeah.
And the Grand Master of Templary in the United States decreed a little while ago that your uniform is your apron, so you don't need to wear an apron.
Yeah.
Right.
Templars are the only ones that are allowed to be covered in a commandery.
So what about if you visited another lodging in another state? Is there things you're allowed to wear and not allowed to wear? For example, we're Yorkshire West Riding, so we've got our own ties, provincial ties, but we're not allowed to wear them in other provinces.
Well, that is where it gets interesting because it's really, I mean, as you guys know, everything's up to the master's discretion. The master can allow you in or not allow you in or tell you to change. So it's up to the master.
Yeah.
And do you wear suits and ties for all your lodges? Because I've seen pictures in America where there's people wearing shorts and things.
Here at our lodge in Morningstar up here, there was talks about becoming a casual lodge, and I am vehemently opposed to it. I think I dress like a smash bag of ass all day for work, right? The last thing I'm going to do is show up wearing, you know, ripped jeans and shorts and flip-flops. The only thing we do that is fun here at Morningstar Lodge is around, so we go dim for the summertime because most Masons are on vacation with their families, and sometimes it's just too freaking hot to be up here in mid-July sweating your ass off wearing a suit. So what we do is our last meeting of the first half of the year, it's like the third Thursday in June, we do what's called the tacky Hawaiian shirt night. And everybody is allowed to show up in flip-flops and, you know, shorts. And you got to just find the gaudiest, tackiest Hawaiian shirt you can find. And we all have a competition who can wear the shittiest Hawaiian shirt. And
is this for your actually regular meeting?
It's just for a regular meeting. There's nothing. If there was a degree or something going on, then yeah, no, that's a nix. But we wear suit and tie for a basic meeting. And for degrees, we wear tuxedos and white gloves. In the state of Connecticut, I do not believe that the Grand Lodge allows for casual meetings. But I know there are some jurisdictions, particularly, I don't know what you would call them in England, but over here in the United States, we call them hillbillies, you know. Right? They're out in the freaking bushes. Whether it be Maine or it's down in, you know, Louisiana, you know, they will wear casual. So I really think it's more of like area-based decision.
Yeah.
We're even shirt and tie for our practices, believe it or not.
Wow.
Yeah.
An interesting one is that, so George, you've got Dean here, actually is from a lodge in our same lodge building, but his lodge is called the Lodge of the Morning Star. So you guys are Morning Star Lodge.
And he's all you.
So this is basically like the UK equivalent, maybe. I don't know.
That's really cool. I know that Freemasonry reveres Venus quite frequently. And that's basically what we're named after here is the Morning Star, Venus, not Lucifer. So conspiracy theorists can it's actually Venus, and that's even what Evening Star, when it does, when we finally do, once all this COVID crap's done, once that gets moving, that's what Evening Star is as well.
How much resistance do you get from the public when you're an Illuminati?
You've done podcasts on this episode. They were fascinating.
I think we really don't get much resistance. Here in Connecticut, well, at least at our lodge in Seymour, we're very proactive in our community. We do car shows. We raise all kinds of money for the kids at the high school. We raised, I think, $3,000 last year. Went right to the school, right to the high school. We have free bike giveaways during Christmas time. We have something called the CHIP Foundation, or the CT CHIP organization, so that, God forbid, if their kid ever goes missing, they can take that packet and give it to the state police, and it will help them find their kid.
Yeah, that's really good.
So yeah, a lot of our, we also march in parades, so we're in the parade circuit. So we're actually very active in the community. So.
Do you do pancake breakfasts?
We do not do pancake breakfasts.
Sorry, I had to ask.
No, that's fine. We do not do pancake breakfasts. We really don't have, we don't have a dinner thing up here. So we don't really do any type of dinners and stuff like that for the community. And even if we did, I wouldn't be down for it. I think there's much better ways to get out to the community rather than doing pancake breakfasts or chili cook-offs. God, I don't know if you guys listen to the podcast before. I hate chili cook-offs. It's like every time you stand up, you go into a lodge, hey, next week we're doing a chili cook-off. And I'm sitting there going, oh, look. Chili cook-offs. And I just think that, you know, there's much better ways to get people together and get involved in your community.
Yeah. Did you get involved with masonry when you were in the Marines?
No, I was out of the Marine Corps well before. I was in 1999, 2000 is when I started that. And then I got involved with Freemasonry in 2006. So it was actually shortly after my daughter was born. I was home and read about it. And just, I said, you know, this is, it was kind of very spur of the moment to join Freemasonry. I'd never really heard much about them before that.
So, you know what, guys? We'll take the opportunity while we're here. We've got two veterans on the podcast tonight. Dean, obviously 23 years in the Army, British Army. Geez. And we've got George as well, obviously in the United States Marine Corps. So, to our vets.
The veterans.
To our vets.
Going back to the podcast then, you have got an absolutely solid team behind you, haven't you? I mean, obviously you're the main voice of the podcast, but obviously you've got Wish for Brother Joe, you've got Brother Raf, you've got Ken, you've got Rocco. I haven't heard Rocco for a while, actually.
Rocco, yeah, he doesn't really frequently come up. He hasn't been up in quite some time. I realized in our early episodes, I mean, they were just, you know, the first couple episodes we had, you know, eight Masons in the room, everyone's talking over each other, and it just got freaking chaos, right? And it's much different than being on like a Zoom. Like, we're all kind of, you know, in our different locations having a conversation. We all kind of don't step on one another. But, I mean, you guys have been to After Lodges. What happens? Everyone's just talking all at once.
Three different conversations.
And, again, I was working with, you know, basic technology. Then I had literally one nano mic and an old computer from the early 90s, right? And working with sticks and stones, right? So, I eventually get to a realization that I need more tech, number one. And two, I need to cut some people out of here. Not to sound like a dick or anything, but it's too chaotic. So then me and Joe have been longtime friends even before we had a whole situation in Masonry where I was his district deputy. He had something going on in his lodge. And me and Joe just kind of just blended. And he's like, hey, I'd like to come up. Can I come up? I said, yeah, absolutely. So once Joe came, and just that, I mean, the chemistry between me and him in that first episode, it just clicked. It made sense. And I said, you need to start coming up more often. You need to be here all the time. He started coming up. And then shortly, I think after that, we interviewed Ken. And I really, you know, I knew of Ken. And when he sat down and it was just me, Joe, and Ken for that first episode together, I'm like, wow, this is perfect. Like, I'm the loudmouth jarhead who's always flying off the handle and launching mic stands and stuff. Joe is the comedian, and then Ken is Mr. Reasonable. Like, he's rational, you know? And it was perfect. It was three different types of personalities working all as one. It was awesome.
It still works so well. And one of the things that for our listeners, if you want to head on over and listen to George's podcast, it's absolutely fantastic. It's the Freemasons podcast. You can catch it on YouTube. You can catch it on Spotify, any other media platform, really. It's a great podcast. And I will say that when I first listened to it, I was, I think I was an EA, actually. I've only been in Masonry for just under 2 years. And it was certainly one of the things that was my highlight of the week, just listen to and go through with it. And it was so different. It was just, it's almost like a bit of a breath of fresh air, just kind of hearing about Masonry from another part of the world. It was funny. It was entertaining. It was informative. It's everything you want, really. So I can't recommend it to you guys enough. So go check them out, Freemasons Podcast.
Thank you.
I've listened to possibly a dozen episodes now. My first ever episode was the Prepper episode you did quite recently.
The Prepper.
Just you and your go bag. Mm-hmm. Love that.
That episode actually got me more flack than you could possibly imagine.
Really? Because I enjoyed it. I mean, I'm a Prepper myself.
So it's not hard to find me, right? Do the podcast. You find my name. My name's attached to a Facebook. My Facebook is attached to an email. And the hate mail that I got for that episode, because I aired that episode right before all this COVID stuff went down. So you would not, I'm sorry, there's sign of something, the building's burning or something in the background. I apologize. So I'll let the fire engines go by first. You can edit this out.
It's not your building, is it, George? It's not your building.
No, it's not the freaking building. But so our
goddamn now it's the Ghostbusters. I'm afraid of no ghosts.
So we sit down and have a conversation. 15 fire trucks go screaming up the road. See, this is the shit that I'm talking about. This is what happens on our podcast, where I'm sitting there and I'm just going to hit the button, pause the damn thing. I'm like, all right, come on, let's go.
There's another day in Seymour.
Yeah, the mean streets of Seymour. So it's like really suburban here. Like, it's not craziness. Town in the valley. You know, it's that quintessential New England town. Nothing ever goes wrong. And then, you know, here we are on the podcast, you know, recording, and 15 of them go screaming up the road.
Are you the only lodge in your building?
Yes, with the exception of there being... Oh, I know what they're doing. All right, I figured it out. So here in the States, what we're doing with this COVID thing is they're actually having birthday parades.
Oh,
okay.
To cheer people up.
People who, because I hear all the horns now. Kids who have birthdays, the parents can actually call the fire department and say, hey, can you guys drive by our house? And they do this whole parade by the kid's house. It's really
cool. That's well cool.
Oh, nice.
So,
that's really good.
Now I feel like a douchebag for getting pissed off before. But
do you think our fire department would do that? It's my girlfriend's birthday in 2 weeks. 2 weeks today is my girlfriend's birthday.
It's my birthday on the 10th of June. If any fire brigade turns up at my door, you're all in trouble because there's no one else that would do this.
It won't be a fire brigade. It will be one guy in a boombox.
If I really wanted to be an asshole, it's not Joe's birthday, but I could totally call up the town he lives in and just have him drive by his house. Okay. I would lie and say that he works third shift. So they show up at midnight.
2 a.m. Yay.
George, speaking of COVID and stuff, over here at UK, at 8 o'clock, everybody up and down country go out to applaud the NHS for the hard work they're doing and key workers. Do you have anything similar?
What we've been doing here, I don't know that, I'm sure communities are doing stuff like that, but I know one thing that we have been doing, and I think this might even be a Mason thing, is we go, we do what's called the 9 o'clock toast for our brothers, but I don't know of any type of clapping or anything like that.
Speaking of which.
Brethren, the hands are square. It's time to toast. Absent brethren.
Absent brethren.
Absent brethren.
To absent brethren.
Thanks for listening so far. The recording was so long, we split it into two parts. The educational side of it is pretty much over, and the horsing around occurs in part two. In the next part, the boys are joined by some more brothers and talk about Puppet George, amongst other funny stuff. You're welcome to join us, or you can get back to your normal way of life and spare yourself the insanity of what's coming next. Pip pip. Cheerio.